Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Prachari Nirvishesha Shunya Vani Prasthi Chandish Kami Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Avedyananda Srivastani Gaura Vakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rajkapurukeshakipa Sindhu Vyayavacha, Paditabhavani Vyokashvaraja Namonaha. So devotees and friends, Mr. Bhavi Raksha, family members, devotees, I want to read three verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita regarding a very similar event, an event which occurred in the personal presence of Lord Chaitanya himself. Lord Chaitanya means the most recent incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. Perhaps he's not as well known amongst the people in general as Lord Krishna himself, but still he is nonetheless exactly the same person appearing more recently, approximately 500 years ago, along with his closest associate, Lord Balaram, appearing as Lord Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing like that, with his brother. So let us read then these couple of verses. Ekadina Srivastiana Mandire Gosani Nityananda Sange Yuritya Kare Dui Bai. One day the two brothers, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were dancing in kirtan in the holy house of Srivas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, who's like his brother, Krishna and Balaram, they appeared 500 years ago also, in order to establish the Krishna consciousness movement in the form that we all know it today, having spread all over the world, based particularly on the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So, one evening then, they were chanting in kirtan, singing in kirtan, and dancing in ecstasy in the house of this one devotee named Srivas Thakur, who was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. Srivasaputriya taha haila paraloka tabu srivasira chite najamila shoka. At that time, a calamity took place. Srivas Thakur's son died. Yet Srivas Thakur was not at all disturbed. Very amazing situation. The son dies, but the parents are not affected, emotionally affected or in any way affected, because they're situated on the spiritual platform, a higher level, beyond just all the different influences which are there in this material world in which we are living. So, one further verse. Murita Putra Mukhe Kaila ज्ञान हृदय खर्चा आत्मदे दूरी पाया हया श्रीवासा नंदन श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु caused the dead son to speak about knowledge. And then the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, personally became the sons of Srivast Thakur. This is really quite an extraordinary pastime. Let me read the purport here by Srila Prabhupada. This incident took place one night while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with his devotees at the house of Srivast Thakur. One of Srivast Thakur's sons, who was suffering from some disease, died. Srivast Thakur was so patient, however, that he did not allow anyone to express sorrow by crying, for he did not want the kirtan going on at his house to be disturbed. Thus, kirtan continued without a sound of lamentation. But when the kirtan was over, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could understand the incident, declared, "There must have been some calamity in this house." When he was then informed about the death of Srivast Thakur's son, he expressed his regret, saying, "Why was this news not given to me before?" He went to the place where the son was lying dead and asked him, "My dear boy, why are you leaving the house of Srivast Thakur?" The dead son immediately replied, "I was living in this house as long as I was destined to live here. Now that the time is over, I am going elsewhere according to your direction. I am your eternal servant, a dependent living being. I must act only according to your desire. Beyond your desire, I cannot do anything. I have no such power." Hearing these words of the dead son, all the members of Srivast Thakur's family received transcendental knowledge. Thus, there was no cause for lamentation. This transcendental knowledge is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 13. Tata dehantara praptiya dhiras tatra na kuyati. When someone dies, he accepts another body. Therefore sober persons do not lament. After the discourse between the dead boy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, funeral ceremonies were performed, and Lord Chaitanya assured Srivast Thakur, "You have lost one son, but Nityananda Prabhu and I are your eternal sons. We shall never be able to give up your company." This is an instance of a transcendental relationship with Krishna. We have eternal transcendental relationships with Krishna as his servants, friends, fathers, sons, or conjugal lovers. When the same relationships are pervertedly reflected in this material world, we have relationships as the sons, fathers, friends, lovers, masters, or servants of others. But all these relationships are subject to termination within a definite period. If we revive our relationship with Krishna, however, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our eternal relationship will never break to cause our lamentation. So that's very sort of self-explanatory, but let us say a few words. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrista Bhutale Shumana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinale Namaste Saraswati Devi Kaur Vani Kucharani Nirvishesha Shuni Vani Kastri Chirani. So there's this famous story from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. As we mentioned, at that time, Lord Chaitanya and his brother, Nityananda, Krishna and Bhairava, every night they were having kirtan in the house of Shivas Thakur. But then that night, somehow or other, as Prabhupada says, he was suffering from some disease. So this boy died. He's just a young fellow, like a school-aged boy, and he died. But Shrivas Thakur, on one hand, he didn't want to disturb the Lord, who was deeply absorbed in chanting the holy names. He didn't want to disturb the Lord, but on the other hand, he was transcendentally situated. Prabhupada refers here, we read a couple of lines from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 13. Deinos minitade eko varavyokanam jara tatade hantara praptir diras tatra nabhoyati. In that verse, Lord Krishna says that as the embodied soul, as we, when we're situated within our temporary bodies, as the embodied soul is regularly going through childhood, youth, then maturity, then middle age, old age, these stages are going on, and everyone is subject to them. All of us sitting here, as Bhagavasarati Maharaj mentioned some minutes ago, we're all experiencing the passage of time. So we have, as that has been going on, we've had children's bodies, then we had youth's bodies, then young adults' bodies, maybe in our 20s, then middle-aged bodies, maybe 40s or thereabouts. Some of us are in old age already. So these changes of body are going on already. Already we have changed bodies. Particularly if you're elderly like me, then we're already changed. Where is the childhood body? It's just nowhere to be seen. The teenage body, these things are all gone. So Lord Krishna says that just as these changes of body are happening, in the course of this life, and we're directly experiencing it, so the soul, the eternal spiritual person, goes into a completely different body at the time of death. Reincarnation. Another child's body, beginning the same process again from childhood. But Lord Krishna makes extremely important point in this regard, that Diras Tatra Na Bhuyati, Dira means a very tolerant person, like a very patient person, but very tolerant in the sense that when there's difficulties of whatever sort, not becoming overwhelmed, able to put up with difficulty. So, Diras Tatra Na Bhuyati, Just as we have gone from childhood to youth, etc., etc., and some of us are in old age, but none of us have panicked. Where did my child's body go? Or my teenage body, where has it gone? None of us have panicked like that. We've just taken it in our stride. So, a tolerant person, a spiritually minded person, is also not bewildered when that greater change of body takes place at the time of death. Yes, the self-realized soul, spiritually conscious person is not bewildered by the change of body at the time of death. Through, and how to achieve that? Through the development of Krishna consciousness, which Mrs. Bobby Dukha Radha Devi Dasi, she was so dedicated to for so many years. Very extremely sincere person. Personally, I knew her since 1980 January, when I first arrived in the country. Last time I saw her was the Tuesday a week before, that would be like the 5th or something like that, perhaps. Oh, no. The day before my operation means like the 12th. Yeah. And 1 week later, she passed away roughly. It was in our service group in Unit 11. She was there. I went for the evening program, and I couldn't remember her initiated name. So I asked her, "Mrs. Bobby, what's your initiated name?" And she said, Duki Radha Devi Dasi. And I said, "Why Duki?" You know, if you know the language, I'm sure that many of you know it well enough. Duki is not so nice. Not so nice. Dukhi Radha basically means sad. Radha. Radha is never sad. So I said, "Why Dukhi Radha?" And her answer was simply, "I chose the name." Then I said to her, "Well, we must change it and make it Sukhi Radha. If you understand the language, you understand it's much nicer. It's much nicer." But little did we know, little did we imagine in any wildest dream that we would come to this. So here we're reading about this incident. It's related in certain ways. Srinivas Thakur, a great devotee, a personal associate of the Supreme Lord, one of his sons dies just like that. But because he is a transcendentally, spiritually situated person, a Krishna conscious person, and he understood, and not just understood like mentally, but had realized, had that vision, that actual perspective, that we're all eternal spiritual persons. We're not these bodies are simply vehicles that we're temporarily inhabiting, and in due course every last one of us, we're going to move on from the current vehicle to the next one. I can just say myself a little experience of mine. When I joined this movement with Papa Sarati Maharaj, actually more or less within days of each other in England, so I was 21. And after a little while, occasionally I would be asked to give a class like what I'm doing here now. And I would look around at the audience, and you know what I would see? often at least, that I was the youngest person in the whole gathering. Now when I look around, frankly, I like to see there's a few who have moved on a little beyond me. But often I look around and I can see I'm the oldest person. Yeah. It's a fact. So that is the way of this world. We cannot stop it. You may not be so familiar with British history, but there was a king in 1066, you know, 1,000 years ago, more or less, King Canute. In those days, they thought the kings had divine power. He didn't think he had divine power. He understood he was just a person like us. Somehow he got born in a very powerful position. So he told them, "All right, you think I have divine power? Take me on my throne. Take me to the sea. And present at low minutes, low tide," if you're familiar with how the ocean works. "When the sea is down, put me there on my throne. And let me see if I can stop the sea coming up." So they did that. And sure enough, the sea kept coming up. And before he knew it, it was sort of up to his waist and they had to move him. So none of us have that sort of power that we can dictate to the material world. Time, stop. Time, go backwards. We're all subject. We're all subject to the different influences and energies and workings of the material world. So therefore, you know, maybe it's not such a nice way to look at the situation, but Mrs. Bobby Duki Radha, or Suki Radha, maybe Dasi, she was 72 apparently. Probably you're aware that in South Africa, the average life expectancy is less. I don't know, I heard it's 40 something. But it's less than 72. So the fact is that even though she left in a very abrupt way and shocking way, and it's just obviously it's very hard to relate to nicely, but it was only going to be a matter of time anyway. Like our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada on his seat there. I remember when he passed away, he was 81. He was 81. And when he passed away, we thought, many devotees thought, why did we not ask him certain important spiritual questions? We had the opportunity to get clarification on some more subtle, deep aspects of spiritual life. Somehow we never got around to it. And now we can't do it. So there was some thought. Prabhupada was 81. What if he had lived on another 10 years to 91? My mother, for what it's worth, she lived to be 91. So why did Prabhupada live on another 10 years? We could have asked him some of these more refined questions, details. But now it's 2020. He left this world 43 years ago at the age of 81. He was not going to live to be 120 something. That's the way of this world. And if Mrs. Bobby had not passed away at this time, she would have passed away, who could say, 10 years, who could say. But it wouldn't have been very long. And we'd all be sitting here. We'd all be sitting here just like this. Except we'd all be a few more years older. So in principle, at least in principle, it would be exactly the same situation. It's just some detailed circumstances have changed. Now the thing is here in this particular incident with Lord Chaitanya, that Srivas Thakur was one of his great devotees, very close associates, and his son had passed away, and Lord Chaitanya, appreciating the mood of Srivas, appreciating meaning in the sense that the boy passed away in the early evening, now it's early morning, the kirtan had gone on through the whole night, now it's like maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, something like that. So a good several hours have passed, and Srivas tolerated, and he didn't become bewildered and break down and become totally distraught, which, you know, I'm sure so many of you have been at many funerals. I've been at plenty, and sometimes you see someone just loses it completely, totally, 100%. But Srivas Thakur, as a devotee, situated in knowledge, and with some realization of the knowledge, some like direct experience of how it all works, even though it had happened several hours later, Srivas Thakur understood this is the way of the world. It will not help. It will not make any difference whatsoever if I get carried away and go into deep distress. So therefore, let us carry on in Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya appreciated that. And we read that. How Lord Chaitanya appreciated the tolerance, patience of Srivas Thakur. And then as a reciprocation for that, Lord Chaitanya told Srivas Thakur that you have lost one son, but now Nityananda Prabhu and I, we will become your sons. And actually the fact is that from that time on, Lord Chaitanya, who at this point, he's kind of early 20s. Lord Chaitanya is like 20, maybe 22, something like that. Lord Nityananda is more like 35. They interacted with Srivas Thakur and his wife, Balini, as if they were actually their sons. And would you believe, devotees, listen to this, and fasten your seatbelts a little, Lord Nityananda would come, and like I said, he's plus or minus 35 years old. But he would come sometimes and be breastfed by the wife of Srivas Thakur. I'm sorry if that's a little difficult to digest. But he acted like that. So what I would expect here, in our situation here, I do expect that Mr. Bobby Rapture and the two sons, that the more you're able to digest all of this from the Krishna conscious perspective, it doesn't mean becoming sort of callous and who cares, someone died, what difference does it make? It doesn't mean becoming callous or hard. It's a different type of mentality altogether, which includes the natural feelings of loss of a very dear family member. But the more you're able to digest this all from the perspective of Krishna consciousness, then the more you will see the hand of the Lord in the event itself. That's one thing, but not just in the event itself, but in an ongoing sense in your ongoing lives. Your ongoing lives. That Krishna, you will see Krishna's participation in your lives, because he is there. He is not just some distant authority figure from another world. He's right here with us. He's right here with us. The problem is, we are prone to ignorance, and as a result, we cannot see his hand in our lives. Some people can't see at all, and others can just see a little bit now and then. But for those who are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, they're regularly seeing the hand of the Lord in their lives, participating and helping in very personal ways. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, said, he raised the question, what is Krishna consciousness? What is it? And then he answered his question. Krishna consciousness means the development of a personal relationship with Krishna, disguised as a process. If you can follow that. The development of a personal relationship, as we all, so many of you here, so many of us, we know each other in so many ways. Krishna consciousness means the development of a personal relationship with Krishna, although it may be on the surface in certain respects, disguised like a process. You must do this and not do that. All these types of things like rules and regulations. But it's not, Krishna consciousness is not just some rules and regulations trying to become a better person. Of course, we try to become better people, but ultimately it's the development of that personal relationship. So I'm completely convinced, particularly Mr. Bobby Raksha, if you really try to digest this from the perspective of Krishna consciousness and keep chanting seriously, attentively, regularly, then gradually, step by step, you'll see more and more how Krishna is present in your lives and how this event, despite the unfortunate aspects, which of course are there, but it has been like an extraordinary stepping stone forward. for the development of your lives in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj.